Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the World According to Velvet. We're reporting here live from planet Earth, and I've got Jen and Jacob on the line, and we're going to talk about stories and the power of stories to help us take back the human narrative. Before I bring them online, I just have to tell a little story. About 4 years ago, I was hanging out on the coast. My husband was working out there. And a friend of mine, an old mentor of mine who had moved to the coast, invited me to this storyteller night. And all the people that were involved were part of an organization called the Myth Singers Consortium. And they are big on sharing stories and songs from all around the world. So anyway, we go to this house, and there is a wooden teepee. Okay, it's a big wooden teepee. I think it's like an eight-sided teepee, and we go inside, and inside is this big fire pit, and there's a fire going, and there's like benches all around the fire, and we sit down, and then this man comes in, and he is in a wheelchair. I think he might have like cerebral palsy or something, and I'm not sure, but he's got a djembe drum with him, and we all get quiet, and all of a sudden he starts drumming, and he says, "Humans have been sitting around fires for hundreds of thousands of years telling stories. And humans tell stories because they are the only species that has forgotten who they are and why they're here. And stories help them remember." And so today, Jen and Jacob of Gaia's Journey and I are going to talk about stories. And I'd like to welcome them onto the show and tell me how this storytelling and the human narrative has come about and why we're going to talk about it today.
Well, I think it's very important just because for the mere fact that we, without even realizing, maybe unconsciously, we tell ourselves a lot of stories throughout our lifetimes. But for the most part, I mean, if we look around the world and see the dysfunctionality, we realize pretty quickly that the stories that we're telling ourselves are filled with negativity. And what I mean by taking back the narrative, first we have to take back our own narrative and really understand where we come from and the stories that we're telling ourselves. And then by doing that, we're able to understand, you know, taking back some of our cultural stories, our human stories, such as, you know, original sin. I mean, that's a story that a lot of people subscribe to. And for me, that's a story I had to reclaim because I come from the perspective, a very Eastern philosophical perspective, and probably an indigenous perspective of, you know, our innately we're filled with a Buddha nature is what I call it, the awakened mind, the luminosity that resides within, not original sin. So that's just a quick example of a story that I think really has to shift on this planet right now because it's absurd to me to think that a child being birthed from a womb has to have a ceremony done for it because it's born into sin. That is absurd once I actually started to think about it.
Yeah, totally. Instead of the notion that we are born, I mean, you know, I think I've taken back that story too, or I've redefined it as I am a spark of the divine, and I'm coming here to manifest all my glory in human form.
And I'm coming from the perspective of that, you know, we're really inundated with everyone else's, or should I say a few people creating a lot of these storylines. And why this came up for me personally is just because of just the news, how it is right now, and a lot of stories are just getting, you know, you have the original story, and then you have a lot of people doing a false flag of it and saying it's not a real story, and then it just, like, you know, goes into this rabbit hole, which I personally have been down many, many times. And so then I watched James Corbett, who is an alternative newscaster. He has a report called The Corbett Report. And he's just very calm, and he just said, like, I'm done. I'm done following the storylines that they want, because you have your mainstream news that does the story, and then you have your alternative news that does the alternative news stories where they're picking apart every detail and calling it a false flag, and why would they do this, and what else are they distracting us from, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he's like, I want to be the alternative, which is just saying no and us creating the storylines for what we're going to do. And that just doesn't mean necessarily that we're all going to be dancing with unicorns and singing Kumbaya and turning a blind eye. But it does mean that we're going to focus on the things that we want to focus on and not constantly have our attention be pulled away into these rabbit holes that I think a lot of us, especially people who are listening, have just gone down. We know. We have our eyes open. And for me personally, I've really been, sucked into the conspiracy world a lot. And it's not to say that there isn't something there for me, because there was a big something there for me. It was definitely a stepping stone on my path. But I think it's come to, at least in my view, it's come to a lot of people have gone there. So why don't we take our lessons and collectively, stand up and just say, no, let's tell our own stories and let's focus on what we want to focus on.
That's a good point. And as you were talking, what kind of came to my mind is one of these storytellers that came here, came to Whitefish, and we would gather once a week and we would hear these prophecy stories about world changes. And one of the things that he talked about with stories is that it's really more than whether or not we believe the story, it's the emotion or reaction that is evoked in us. And so if you are still going and listening to these stories, which are just stories, right? Because they're just one person's perspective and slant on an event. And I think one of the things that's kind of coming to my mind is if I still hook into the story, what my gift is the emotion or the feeling that is evoked in me and my opportunity to witness it and transmute it. And so I think, and that's maybe part of the evolution too of awakening, is that first, I think, like for me personally, I was a patriot, right? I was an American, and I believed what I was taught in school, and I believed every story I was told, right? And then it got to the point where I stopped trusting any stories, right? And I just having an inability to discern what is truth. And then what I started realizing is I could get hooked up in stories, or I can just see what the story is showing and reflecting to me and triggering in me. And so even with this thing that happened in France, I kind of watched it and it didn't evoke a lot of emotion in me. And I don't know, I kind of have sat with, well, have I become calloused to the loss of life? Or do I, as a former journalist, do I say, when you write a story and you believe in it, I always wanted to be able to believe in something or be doing something that was so important to me that I would be willing to die for it, that I wouldn't be afraid to die for it and putting my truth out there or whatever. Maybe that was when I believed in the truth that isn't so true now. But the idea is that we don't know what those people, what their whole karmic thing was about with the shooting. And we as outsiders, is it even about us?
No. And you bring up a really good point because, we can still view these stories as metaphorical or anagogic and say, what does 12 mean to us? The 12 people died. We can really do that and separate the emotion. However, sometimes what I'm seeing in the younger generations is that there's this wave of apathy. And sometimes I think, and I've heard from them, that the apathy comes from just completely being so inundated with all of these stories that they know aren't true. They've known, they're born in the late 80s, the early 90s, or even the late 90s. And, it's just story after story, their entire lifetime, news and TV, their entire lifetime. And it become, and reality TV, which is just a mind fuck, really, like reality TV, putting those two together. And then, what is that? What are the implications when you grow up with something like reality TV? That could be a whole other show. But when you put all of this together, and then they have this apathy, which I guess, you know, it's just it's neutral. Apathy can be neutral. You know, it's they're not hooking into the story. But then it just creates this. I don't know. I don't really know where I'm trying to go with that. But that your comment just made me think of some of the apathy, and also some of these like marches. I kind of tuned out the story, but I still hear some residuals. And there's like marches of like, you know, like hundreds of thousands of people or whatever marching, and so it does create collective emotion. And I think what I see and what I feel is the collective emotion and how collectively, you know, we don't really know how to deal with that emotion. So I guess it's good to talk to you about it, Velvet, because I think it's a really hard time. It brings up a lot of emotion for some people, and some people in younger generations, it's just like, oh, another lie, whatever. This world is, you know, shitty, and we can't do anything about it because they're just going to keep feeding us lies.
And to me, I see that as the exact point, is when you inundate younger people with negativity, you literally disempower them by throwing stories upon them, by force-feeding them stories. And really what Taking Back the Narrative is shining that spotlight into our own inner landscape and really stop focusing externally on the world and first try to understand ourselves. Because by understanding ourselves, we understand our true power, and I think that is the point of globally bringing these stories to the forefront, which really isn't even that big of a story. But they create the story because they realize that this time is very powerful. It's a time of empowerment. But if they can capture the human imagination and distract it so they can't actually go inside to see what's really going on, to tune into the powers, the cosmic energies that are flowing within them and without them, and to really empower themselves, that's how they are able to continuously take power from us and continue their agenda. So the time is very powerful where we have to take back our power and really begin creating ourselves.
And I wanted to say one more thing, Velvet, because I think I'm just in this really moment getting what you said, which is that, I guess I'm just talking to Jacob right now or to other listeners, that I guess what, and tell me if I'm wrong, Velvet, but I guess what Velvet is saying is that you can use that story, you can use their own poison against them, I guess, in a sense, of you can use the story and actually use the emotions it triggers to purify your inner landscape. Is that what you were saying, Velvet?
I think that's exactly, and it's kind of to bringing to my mind another woman who is a storyteller of sorts. Her name is Barbara Hanclough, and she wrote a book called Catastrophobia. And what she talked about is there has been something that happened a long time ago that traumatized the human collective, and it made us afraid of catastrophes. And what she was saying when I went and listened to her talk, she said, when we see these events that are happening or these movies that are happening, what they are, yeah, they can feed fear and they can, you know, kind of feed off of the fear of humans. But if you are aware and you are aware of your own emotional reaction to these stories, she thought it was a great tool to help clear the collective fear.
And I think that totally makes sense. And I think that's where people like you really come into play and people really stepping into their power and sharing with younger people, because I've been communicating with a few people from, you know, even younger than me, and it's just a very emotional and confusing time. And when you don't have that perspective, when you can't really use the stories or this kind of chaotic collective emotion that they're creating for purifying your inner landscape, I guess, to borrow that from Jacob, then it does create a really big mess. And so I think that, you know, you just have to know yourself, and you have to know if you can't turn off the TV, then, you know, use that emotion. If you can, then maybe that's what you should be doing if you can't really control your emotions at this time, which a lot of younger people are in a lot of emotional turmoil. And it's not an accident that you know, it's just right around the story, right around the new year, right around a lot of these things going on. And so I guess I just wanted to bring that to you, Velvet, as kind of a report from out here.
Well, that's interesting, and that's, I think it's good, right? Because, you know, there's this theory, this yogi that I kind of listened to, he talked about how when things happen and we don't process the emotions or the feelings, they crystallize in our emotional body. And then there are certain things almost that your soul calls to you to stimulate and kind of activate those emotions, those feelings, so that they can be released. And I think it's hard if you don't know what's happening, right? If you are being bombarded by these emotions and or feelings and you keep reacting to them, and I think we've all been there, you know, that's maybe again part of the path, right? To have your emotional body just be triggered. And kind of what I mean, this has been my own experience, that Kundalini yoga, that's kind of my practice, because it's a yoga of awareness. The whole focus is that you just watch what comes up and you don't react to it. You just witness it. And I think there's Buddhist practices. I think Tai Chi, Qigong. I think there are many practices out there that will support you in just witnessing what's happening to your with your emotions. And I think, I mean, I hear a lot of people who are having trouble, but they aren't doing any kind of spiritual practice.
I agree, and I completely agree with your entire statement, because I think actually, as we're talking, the depth of this is, if we want to really get into the depth of the news, the mainstream news, is this. It's a neutral tool, so I understand that it's neutral. They don't think it's neutral, the quote-unquote they. You know, they want us to loop. They want us to loop in these emotions. They want us to continuously loop and not come out. And I guess what I'm hearing from you is that, and from my own experience, is if you continue to loop, it's a really bad scene for a lot of years. And so to take these opportunities when these feelings come up and to not loop. And I think maybe that should be our discussion today, because I think some of those tools are what people really need right now, because a lot of people have been looping for years, and this is just another inflammation, if you will, that's triggering the autoimmune disease, the autoimmune parasite that we all have in our emotional bodies. And I'm not making that blanket statement, I guess, all, but a lot of us have what we could, you know, metaphorically call an autoimmune parasite in our emotional bodies that really just wants us to loop, and once in a while it will inflame, or a lot of times it will inflame, and we can either take the inflammation as a chance to release this, like we were talking about a couple weeks ago, or we can take it and just continuously be killing our emotional and physical and mental bodies. And I think that's what's coming up for a lot of people right now. I've heard about a lot of autoimmune diseases here in Southern California. So, that's just my take.
Well, and so if we tie this back to the story, right, to stories and taking back the human narrative, you know, the notion is even this has been, I think, the biggest gift for me in Kundalini Yoga, is when an emotion comes up, is not to make a story about it, because the story pulls me out of the emotion or the feeling. And I think later, after you have released it, then you may have a new awareness, or perhaps a new perspective that is in itself a story. But it's not a story that is, tarnished by your loop. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yeah. In Buddhism, they call it naked awareness, and it's just residing in the emotion as it arises, just really going beyond concepts and just fully and entirely feeling it with your whole body and just moving through it. Because once you feel it, once you bring it in, once you move through it, it becomes something else. You see it for what it truly is. You see its true faith. You're not inundated with concepts that you've taken on over your lifetime and called it something else. That's the whole point of the peacock teaching is, you know, you ingest poisons and then display this immaculate color as it, as you transform it into medicine. And that's what we all are. Mm-hmm. But like you're alluding to, we have to really start on a fundamental personal basis. It's really difficult to start doing that with the news if you haven't actually incorporated a certain technique or practice to really develop your own personal skills first, or your internal landscape, to really purify your own afflictive emotions and to start there. I mean, that's a really good place to start. And that's really the fortune of our generation is all these Eastern philosophies, you know, have been in the West for at least 40 to 50 years now. So they've been rooted here. And that's where I'm such in awe of the generations before us, that they were, even if they didn't really understand the teachings at first, they were still interested in them, and they brought these teachers here for the future generations like myself and for the younger people, because we understood that we were going to come into conflict emotionally as the times progress with all this media, with all this technology. And now the spiritual technology has arrived, and we can really use that to our benefit and continue to teach and continue to share with one another.
And yeah. To bring it back to the stories, what I really wanted to talk about was that the stories, like, from people like you, Val, the personal stories, it's that, you know, you said in the beginning that you were once a patriot and then just that evolution of your own personal evolution. Those are the stories that are healing. Those are the stories that I want to see. Those, the stories of someone else's process of awakening. And what did that look like? And, for example, we met someone here, and she was at, like, a really high-powered business person. And she, in Southern California, and had her own business. And then, a few personal things happened to her life to where she was, you know, she got a divorce and, lost the business, et cetera, et cetera, and really got into her yoga practice and really was beginning to heal. And then was like, crap, you know, I have kids and I have a mortgage and I guess I have to go back to the business world, even though her heart was telling her, no, you need to really, you know, be in your own medicine, you know, which was yoga at the time and continuously evolved. But anyway, so finally she goes on some interviews at some really good jobs, really high-paying jobs, and she gets called in for like a third or fourth interview, and she knows she's about to get the job, and he finally asks her like just a last question, like, you know, why should we really hire you? And she just pauses, and in that moment something came over her, and it was just like, you want to know what? Thank you for your time. I'm sorry I've wasted it, but this is not for me. And she was just led by her own heart to really be the fool card, if you will, and jump off the cliff. And instead of taking the sure thing, the business world, where she would surely, you know, have material success, she just started to become a yoga teacher. And she still, you know, has three kids and a mortgage and all of that. And she said once she made that decision in her heart, all the doors opened. Every door opened it wasn't easy, but it definitely all the doors opened, and she just continuously, you know, followed her heart. To this day, she doesn't have a corporate job. She's a yoga teacher and has her own healing practice. So these are the stories. That's just one kind of long example of a story that I think not only her generation, she's 50, but all generations want to hear, and especially the younger people who are just inundated with the apathy or the I can't do it or the one person doesn't change the world type thing, that your generation went for it, you know, and they threw caution to the wind and really just followed their heart. Those are the stories that I want to hear around a campfire, and also metaphorical stories and the stories of the turtle and the scorpion and all of these other stories that, you know, I want to hear, and I know younger kids want to hear, because it's not only inspiring, it's more than inspiring. It's the depth of really our existence here is to follow our heart and soul, to awaken, and what kind of a world does that look like when we do that on an individual level, on our own terms, and then we come together in a community. And then as a community, we just tell these stories, and we encourage one another.
Yes, and that's sort of what the whole Myth Singers Consortium is about. It's all over the world, but like in Port Townsend, where I went to this thing, they would have kind of an open mic time every, like, once a month. I think they did it once a month. And anybody who wanted to could get up and tell their stories. And there was one story, or the lady who took me to the storytelling group, she said we did an open mic once, and there was this little five-year-old who got up and talked about how he'd been out sailing on the Sound that day and how he got dumped into the water and how afraid he was, but that how that experience had changed him. And I think we all have stories that will evoke emotions in others, that will empower others, that will help us as human beings feel that we're not so alone. Because I think it's our stories, even though we have our own twist to our stories, it's our stories that tie us together and help us not feel so all alone. And so I would really like to thank you guys for bringing this topic to my awareness, because it's kind of been in my awareness since Saturn moved into Sag, because I think Sagittarians are kind of storytellers. They have that potential. And I think we all at this time get the opportunity to take back our stories, to share our stories, to help each other, to, and like you said, Jacob, weed out the parts of our stories that are lies, because Sag is the truth teller. And so to own your weaknesses is a strength too. So we got about 3 minutes. Is there something you guys want to say before we say adieu?
Well, I just want to end by saying, I mean, what you said at the end right there is beautiful. I mean, that's what Gaia Journey to Us will become. We'll become a platform where everyone can come freely, openly, and share their stories. It'll be an open mic platform on the internet that can connect us all over the world, where we can bring our stories to the forefront and really share in our enthusiasm, share in our genuine expression of our personal stories, the personal stories that affected our lives, that really changed the trajectory of our lives to bring us to the path that we're on today. And it's really empowering, really invigorating when you watch people with their mannerisms and with their expressions. And it's that they're bringing the stories to life. And then through our imagination, we can visualize these stories and we can play a role in these stories. And it's just a very powerful time. And I really urge everyone to acknowledge that it's a powerful time and to really surrender to the times that we are living in. And just celebrate the beauty that surrounds us on a daily basis, and really be mindful of all the beauty and all the abundance that swirls around us at this time.
And I would just like to say that, and thank you, Velvet, because you are the master storyteller, and really all me and Jacob are doing is, you know, going down the North and South America and being, you know, just inspired by you, because you are the storyteller. And I don't know if that's an archetype or whatnot, but either way, we love you, and so many people are inspired by you. So I just wanted to really put that out there and speak for a lot of people who I know feel that.
Well, thank you. And I think I do have the storyteller as a major archetype. And I just keep thinking about, I mean, you guys are sort of the opposite of bards, but in a way you guys are bards. And so bards went from village to village. They shared stories, but they also collected stories. And stories that basically tell the emperor he has no clothes. So as you go out into the world this next week, until Jacob and Jen and I are back together again about a week from now. We try to do it on Tuesday, but I sometimes forget. I have to take responsibility for that. But as you go out into the week, just pay attention to any stories that you hear, whether they're stories that you tell yourself, there's stories that you hear others tell, and or stories that you hear from the media. And I just want you to just witness how your mind, how your soul reacts to the stories. And don't judge it. Just witness. I mean, I think in a way that is a practice, and that's what this master storyteller was trying to teach us, I think, is that let the story work you. No matter where the story comes from, you don't have to believe the story, but just let the story work you. So I guess I'm going to say adieu. I want to thank Jen and Jacob as they continue their journey and their storytelling and their barding as they go from village to village, city to city, gathering stories, gathering tales that connect us and bind us to the fabric of what it means to be me. Okay, this is Velvet over and out, live from planet Earth. Adieu.
You still there, Velvet?
Yeah, I think we're still on the air. But
oh,
I'll turn off. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.